Cities, WRCO FM and
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Two people were killed in eastern Tennessee overnight as severe storms and a possible tornado blew through the region. Police say a mother and daughter from the same household died. Right now, they are assessing damage near Knoxville. In addition to those millions of federal workers who have been offered buyouts and the shuttering of the U.S. Agency for International Development, the chair of the Federal Election Commission has also been removed by the Trump administration. ABC's Rachel Scott.
The FEC was created by Congress to be this independent watchdog over our election system. Well, overnight, the chair of the FEC, Ellen Weintraub, says that she was fired by President Trump in a letter. She is a Democrat, but this is a bipartisan commission, and under law, the president is supposed to first nominate her replacement. In a statement on social media, she says there is a legal way to remove her, and this is not it.
Flu, RSV, COVID, and norovirus cases surging in several states. Schools closed in at least four states because of it. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied. The Richland Center City Council meeting was held on Tuesday night with several items on the agenda for the Common Council to vote on. The first item on the agenda was a request from RCHS's Youth for Change and the Partners for Prevention Coalition to develop a model ordinance to support tobacco-free parks. The council voted unanimously to direct the city attorney to work on a model ordinance for tobacco-free parks in the city of Richland Center. The council also approved to repeal and replace Chapter 40, fixing the boundaries of the wards and the aldermanic districts of the city and establishing a single reporting unit, combining wards into a single reporting unit, and also approved poll workers for the 2025 elections. Other items approved on the agenda were a landfill monitoring services agreement with MyTech Monitoring Services and submission of a community development investment grant for Wild Honey Collective, LLC, which will be located in the former Gables restaurant building. With the cost of waste management going up, the council approved raising garbage collection fees, which has not been raised since 2014. The council did postpone voting until next month's meeting on the application of Bindle Tire and Auto for a conditional use permit to allow an auto repair garage or facility at 243 East Court Street and voted against the application of Guru Ramdas Shah LLC for a conditional use permit to allow an auto repair garage or facility at 789 Sextonville Road before adjourning and going into closed session. For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied.
The Bucks take on the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks road trip continues after beating the Hornets in Charlotte. They're now in Atlanta to face the Hawks. In college basketball, the 21st-ranked Wisconsin Badgers take on a rival, the Iowa Hawkeyes in Iowa City. That one starts at noon tomorrow. NFL, Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love was in New Orleans at the Super Bowl and was asked to describe how he thought the Packers season went overall.
You know, I think the main theme of the season for us was just inconsistent. You know, I felt like it was some really good, and it was some just not consistent enough to be able to be one of those top offenses in the league. But, you know, we were able to generate a lot of explosive plays, and I think when we can keep building and keep honing in on all the details and just being that consistent offense like you see some of these offenses do, where they just go out and put up all these points every week and do the same stuff, I think that's where we need to get to.
As Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We have some snow on the way. Could get an inch, maybe two, through the day Saturday and into Saturday evening. It's not going to be windy, but could cause some travel delays or interruptions with that little bit of snow here tomorrow. Today, though, partly to mostly cloudy. We'll get to 28 this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 14.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocent is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, Good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me this week as we talk to my friend and national figure Adam Kinzinger in what will be certain to be an incredible conversation.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. I'm going to beat you to it. Thank God it's Friday.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it before we went live. Thank God it's Friday.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm glad it's Friday, man.
Well, you know, the 2 o'clock trade deadline yesterday passed, and you didn't get traded, Earl. I didn't get traded.
No, man.
No. Calvin, you're still in uniform. That's good.
So by now, you know who that is. That's the one and only Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I think you have a Bucks hat on, don't you?
Yeah, I got a Bucks hat on, man. I got a Bucks hat on.
Celebrating the fact that you're still in uniform.
You know, man, most people may not know it, Sandy, but you and I are big sports fans. We don't talk about it a lot on the show, but we got to talk about it a little bit this morning because not only what happened with the Bucks, but there's a Super Bowl game coming on Sunday. The Bucks.
The Bucks. Yeah. Yeah, the Bucks. I mean, you know, that people were making huge headlines, making huge trades, and I suspect that in another year, the Middleton trading a 3-time All-Star, you know, a guy that's been one of the hearts of the team, would have been huge news, but it was basically a footnote this year with the other big trades.
Well, it clearly is, except for what most people may not know is Chris Middleton was a philanthropist, and Chris Middleton was a guy who did a lot for his community. He always put his money where his mouth was, and he was visible. What made him such an icon, I think, in Milwaukee is that in my community, he was always there. If he was at all kind of special events where cameras weren't, Sandy, he wasn't the kind of guy who did things for the camera.
Yeah.
His heart and his heart was right. And all the time that he was in Milwaukee, you know, if it was nothing more than making sure that 3,000 kids had winter coats and gloves, you know, he would do that every year. He would make sure that families were fit. I don't know how they're going to replace, to be honest with you. He'll be missed more in the poor black community than he will anywhere else. His basketball was great, but, man, his humanitarian know, escapades were just tremendous.
Drew Holiday was another example.
Yeah.
A guy like that who was super active. Yeah, I know these people, you know, the best part about a number of these NBA players is that they do a lot of things without need for attention. They do it under the radar. They do it because they really want to, because they've earned more money than they can ever imagine, and they've decided to do good things with it. And that's great. I mean, you know, I hope Middleton has great success where he's going. But and I guess that community is going to be the better for it. Just as Boston, I think, was very happy as a community to get someone like Drew Holiday.
You know, Sandy, there's no question that the person that Chris Middleton is as a human being even outstripped his basketball prowess. And he was probably that before he became a basketball star. I don't think you do that after you become a star. That's kind of who you were from the beginning, right?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, to their credit, I think the Bucks have done a very good job of trying to make sure that they have a high character quotient on the people they have on their team, because I think that makes a big difference in terms of the capacity to field good teams year after year, too.
Well, you know, the Super Bowl is Sunday, and I got a great football story, Sandy, that I think you would love to hear. Bill Belichick, 72 years old,
yeah,
six-time Super Bowl winning coach, is in the headlines again. You know why?
Well, no. I'll bite. Why?
He's dating a 24-year-old.
Okay.
and he's been doing it. There's a 48-year age gap.
Well,
or is she dating him?
That'll either keep him young or kill him. But
well, I think she's dating him, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm lucky. Yeah, but he's a college coach. He's going to be there on the North Carolina campus.
Well, they better watch
out. The co-eds better be careful.
I'm in that age demographic, man. I don't, you know, I can't get into it.
I think it could have to do with delusions of grandeur, actually. But he's persuasive as well. So, you know.
It takes a lot of kahunas to walk around when you're 74, or you just don't give a...
Oh, he's 72.
Oh, 72, yeah. Or to walk around with a 24-year-old before the world and not know, and doesn't give a rip about being mocked, because you know he's going to be mocked.
We're smiling. laughing, actually.
I know. Yeah. Well, it's worth laughing, you know. That it couldn't be 34, couldn't be 44. He couldn't have a 54-year-old, which would still be young. Sandy, speechless. All right. Let's mark this date and time down. but let's do this. Sandy, the Super Bowl is going to happen on Sunday. It's in New Orleans again. I don't know how many times it's been in New Orleans. But the fact that New Orleans can continue, you know, it's more than a notion to get a Super Bowl. And you have to have a lot of factors and boxes that they check off.
The Packers are exalting the fact that they're having the draft. You know, the NFL draft in Green Bay, that's as good as Green Bay's ever going to do with an outdoor stadium. But, New Orleans seems to be a magnet for big events. They've had a bunch of political conventions there. They've had the Super Bowl seemingly repeatedly there.
Yeah, they have. So what is it about New Orleans that it clearly must be an international city? But
have you ever had a hurricane, Earl?
No, Oh, no, I...
Hurricane is a drink they have on the...
No, I haven't.
In the French Quarter there. I think the story about hurricanes is one isn't enough. No, well, one is... One, how does that go? One is too many, two isn't enough, three isn't enough, or no, anyway. Anyway, hurricanes, you can get in a lot of trouble in New Orleans with hurricanes.
So they're when they're deciding and determining where they're going to have the Super Bowl.
I know how the story goes with hurricanes. One isn't enough, two is too many, three isn't enough.
Okay,
that's the way it goes.
So I'm predicting the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, you're going out there on a limb, huh?
Yeah, I am. And listen, the running back, that guy, is the guy. And yeah, if you don't stop him. Huh?
I think the Eagles are going to win as well. I think that, it's hard to, other than fumbling, it's hard to have an off day with a good running attack and a huge offensive line. And so, and Mahomes, Kansas City's been sneaking through by the
sweat of their brow.
Just at the very ragged edge all season. So I think it's about time.
Yeah. And so are you going to watch it?
Well, sure. Although you end up with between the ads and the thing, it consumes about 4.5 hours.
So what is this? 59 years for the Super Bowl, or something crazy?
Yeah, I just remember how excited I was when the Packers were in Super Bowl I and then Super Bowl II.
So Sandy, you and I saw, and I always tell people there was only two Super Bowls, number one and number two. I saw them both, the NFL against the old AFL,
right,
and those were really Super Bowls because the teams never play each other during the regular season, the AFL and the NFL, and that's what made it a Super Bowl. It was the best of these two leagues squaring off against one another. That third Super Bowl is when they decided to combined the NFL and the AFL, and then everybody played each other. So it just didn't appear to be the same Super Bowl. And the hype wasn't as well, – the hype is still big and probably even bigger because of the growth of media. But to me, there was only two Super Bowls.
And the Packers were in both of them.
Kansas City and the people out in Las Vegas. The Raiders. Yeah. And I remember like yesterday, man. Those were great times.
But anyway, Kenny the Snake Stabler.
Lynn Dawson. Both quarterbacks for those days and all the great names. And all those people, for the most part, are gone. And so when you watch all these Super Bowls, they're just, to me, it'll be a regular football game. I'm glad to see one last game because Sundays are hard for me to feel once football is gone. 855-752-4842. We're going to get down to some business. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. I really want to pose a question, as Sandy and I have been talking about. How should people proceed in this window with Donald Trump and the things that are happening? 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
I'm Sawyer. And I'm Shannon. Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're
born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
The Riviera, on every street a gay casino, where continentals sip their vino and leave their fortunes to chance. The Riviera, where matrons draped in Paris fashions prolong the twilight of our passions in mad pursuit of romance.
All right, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, we'll talk about the music a little later on. But I want to pose this question to the audience because have you grown nauseated with the coverage of Donald Trump? 855-752-4842. And have you grown nauseated, and I don't mean just with what you see on television, but even what we do. And having these continued conversations, it seems that every day, a day doesn't go by that Donald Trump doesn't say or do something outlandish or outrageous. And so, you know, Sandy, you wanted to...
Well, I just think, you know, we've got two different circuses ongoing here. We've got sort of the public process of Donald Trump being predictably completely unpredictable. And so he's, you know, doing and talking about things that are unhinged and unpreconceived, unplanned, you know, turning Gaza into the Riviera, making it a beautiful place for wealthy people, creating a sovereign wealth fund. All these things, you know, filter out of his mouth from his brain without any process ongoing inside his head or inside the heads of others. And so, you know, should we be reacting to that? My view is that all that stuff is sort of inherently unhinged and harebrained. And the Wall Street Journal's busily pointing out the problems with all of these things, and the likelihood of them happening is very low. So should we be waving our arms around it, about it? Well, we do, I guess, because it's such obvious fodder for that kind of conversation. But meanwhile, ongoing is this surgery that's ongoing with respect to the country and the government being carried out by people who are far more willful. And I would equate it, you know, they're in medical school, people go into the operating room and there's a theater and they can stand and look down into the operating room and watch what the surgeons are doing. And what we've got right now is a bunch of surgeons operating on the federal government. And instead of knowing what they're doing, I would equate this to a bunch of surgeons who are taking each organ out and seeing whether the patient survives. Okay, so, you know, they started, one of the early things they did, and I think it was before this, the patient was already anesthetized, is they decided to put an embargo on all funding for assistance and grants. Okay, well, they were reaching for the heart, and as they started removing the heart, somebody said, you know, this is going to kill the patient, you know, so they took their hands off the heart and they stopped that. But now, you know, they're involved doing blood, you know, they're bludgeoning this patient in front of all these students, and the students aren't doing anything about it. That's the thing. The people watching the surgery are the public, but also the people in Congress, and it's the people in Congress who can step forward and say, whoa, wait a minute, this, what you're doing is an autopsy. It's not a operation, and you got to stop the autopsy because the patient isn't dead. You know, the what's going on behind the scenes with the government is, I think, what people ought to be focusing their attention on. And this craziness that Donald Trump is involved with, it's like James Carville said, this is rope-a-dope. This guy's going to punch himself out. These ideas are so blatantly unhinged and without hinges whatsoever that, you know, let's look at the stuff that's ongoing. The notion that our federal government is so unimportant to us that we can simply purge it of its employees, offer every employee a buyout and something that's totally unsupported by regulation. The regulations say that administrative leave for a federal employee is limited to 10 days, okay? They're offering administrative leave of 8 months, okay? So that means they're offering people to get paid for 8 months on administrative leave when the regulations only allow 10 days. If any of these people take this administrative leave, if the government decides not to offer it to them and they go to court to sue for it, they're going to lose their lawsuit because the court's going to look to the regulations and say, well, you only were allowed a 10-day leave. Who told you you could get 8 months?
In the meantime, they've lost their job.
Yeah.
And
they've quit.
Yeah,
have to resign their job, so they've quit their job. And we're talking about potentially millions of employees. And who's going to quit their job in this but the people who are probably working very hard and are burned out and have decided, you know, I've got to do this because this job is killing me, and I'm going to take this buyout. Well, if it's killing them, that means they're probably very busy doing whatever it is they do. And we're going to find out how important it is, I guess, when whatever they do goes away, like the kidneys. The kidneys are pretty important.
You know, Sandy, and it's like the people who are going to be taking it are people who've been there. They've got experience. And, you know, these are very important people to the government itself. It's not like they're new people who just came. They know the system. They know the inner workings. They know all of those things that help people get their Social Security and Medicare and all the other things that we take for granted. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. What are your thoughts? How should we proceed? 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Is disarming some Maharaja with the daring of her decolletage. Life is so completely zany and free by the Mediterranean Sea. Ah, the Riviera, where every golden coat of suntan has cost the gold of more than one man who wasn't warned in advance. He may take to his heart all the wonders of France. Then as a token for the dough that he sunk, he gets a little label slapped on his trunk. He's been the number one Parisian punk on the Riviera.
News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied. Hundreds of people gathered at the state capitol Wednesday to voice their opposition to President Donald Trump's policies. Braving the cold, it was 20 degrees. There were speakers and people carried signs saying things like, "Billionaires are robbing us," and "Deport Elon Musk." These protests were planned all over the country on Wednesday. Madison was just one location. Republicans in the state legislature are criticizing the new election observers rule proposal from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The proposal is meant to clarify what election observers can and can't do at Wisconsin polling sites. The rule would allow observers to be within 3 to 8 feet from the tables where voters show their ID, as well as allow them to move between tables and review non-confidential voter information in poll books. Republicans say they want a threat of punishment for any violations. A Wisconsin couple is suing Walgreens and a pharmacy benefits company, alleging their son died because he couldn't afford a sudden $500 jump in the cost of his asthma medication. Shannon and William Schmidtnecht filed the federal lawsuit on January 21st, a year after the death of their 22-year-old son, Cole. They allege that Optum Rx stopped covering his $66 asthma medication without informing him. When he stopped at Walgreens Pharmacy in Appleton to refill his prescription, he was told new medication would cost him $539. He couldn't afford it and suffered a fatal asthma attack days later. Optum Rx said last April that Cole did fill a prescription that day for a different asthma medication.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Connor Krieger. For your superhero fans and animation lovers, Invincible Season 3 has come out on Prime Video. It follows Mark Grayson, Stephen Yang, as an average teenager who discovers he's a son of the all-powerful Omni-Man. Soon after, he learns that he has powers too, when he finds out his father was actually sent to enslave the Earth and not protect it. He's forced to choose between humanity and family. The show has debuted with a 100% fresh critic score. Catch all of Season 3 on Prime Video. The first trailer for Marvel's Fantastic Four, First Steps, has dropped, seeing Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm, and the Bears Ebon Moss Bachrock becoming Ben Grimm, aka The Thing. It's a fast trailer that shows what you can expect from CGI to the cast as the characters. Check out the trailer on YouTube. Fantastic Four First Steps hits theaters July 25th of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have some snow on the way, could get an inch, maybe two, through the day Saturday and into Saturday evening. It's not going to be windy, but could cause some travel delays or interruptions with that little bit of snow here tomorrow. Today, though, partly to mostly cloudy, we'll get to 28 this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, A Law Review, will sit in for me. I'm taking the day off. I'll see you on Monday.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul on fire.
got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I'm just a devil with love to spare. So viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! How I wish that there were more than the 24.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. You know, Sandy and I were talking about this, and people are talking about it everywhere. How do we proceed? We know that people, have had enough after the election. People have just I talked to people, friends and my sister and others, and who just had enough. Because of leading up to this election, Sandy, there was so much, and even people who were focused on politics, because whether you like politics or not, politics are what drives what's happening in your life. And people have had enough, and they wanted a break, and they had no clue. Could it be possibly, and then we'll go to the phone line, Sandy, could it be possibly that we've grown accustomed to having presidents who were eloquent of speech? Not all, but clearly we've had presidents who have been able to at least attempt to fit what we considered to be what a president should be visually. And in the way they spoke. And now we got a guy who's like, a guy off the street who has ascended to that position. And
I don't think he's like a guy off the street. I think what we've got is a guy who thrives on notoriety and for whom press coverage is the oxygen that he breathes. So, he is intent on attracting attention 100% of the time. He wants to be the center of attention in every room in which he's located, and he wants to be the center of attention in every form of media. I think his lesson that he learned earlier in life from this attorney Cohen that he says was his mentor was, hey, just make sure that people are paying attention to you, that you are the center of attention, and you will be a celebrity, and celebrities get all kinds of benefits, including, pretended wealth can turn into actual wealth as the result of that kind of a game. And he's proven that, this whole branding concept is based on being the center of attention. So what do we have? We have a person who's president, who's been president, who's been trying to be president and is now president again, who demands center stage every day. And he does it forcefully with his thoughts, whether they be hinged or unhinged. And so what do we do about that as commentators and as people on the sideline? If we talk about it every day, we gag on our words after a while and we get terribly sick of the process. They're counting on that. And part of what's happening under cover of all of that convulsion that he creates is essentially an ongoing destruction of the American government as we know it. The people who are doing it are saying, yeah, well, we're going to make it much better by making it much smaller and less capable of doing things. But in my view, what's happening is we're watching the wealthy people in America take control, the very wealthy, take control of the government to get government out of their way. And they're succeeding. I'm concerned about that, and that they might concern if we don't pay attention to that part of the process and start ignoring the sideshow that's in the White House.
And also, while they benefit from government, they with the businesses and the kinds of things that the wealthiest amongst us have, certainly at some point in their portfolios, they're connected some way to some of the resources from our government. Let me, this is James Haas, excuse me, James. Calvin, can you put the, put this text up. New York Times political AP news have been receiving millions of dollars to spread left-leaning propaganda discovered by Elon Musk. American taxpayers ripped off through laundering done by the Democrats, delivered by USAID and the Treasury Department. So, Sandy, it is people who buy into these things as if they are, there's some facts and some truth associated with them.
Well, look, there's no question that there is some waste that will be found in the federal government. And what's going to happen is that whatever little tidbit of information that is found out by through this dragnet that Elon Musk, you know, he's grabbing a hold of the electronic centers of the American government, and he's now actively looking for any anecdote he can find that will support the notion that the government is the enemy and that he can tear it down as a result of it. He's come forward to say without providing the evidence the kinds of things that text just reflected. But you know, so far, anything that's been found has been anecdotal, number one, meaning that it's not an example of something that is significant, but rather just an example of a tidbit that of information that's been found. You know, it's like William Proxmire used to have the golden, he was a senator from Wisconsin, used to have the Golden Fleece Award. He would discover something in the Defense Department budget, and it became a very big deal. At one point, it was golden toilets. Now, you know, the fact was that he found there were gilded toilets someplace in something that was involved with the Defense Department. It became a big deal. It represented some waste in the department, but it's not like they were installing gold toilets willy-nilly all around the government.
Well, what I'm hearing from conservative, hosts is this proves that the Democrats are a criminal enterprise. It's that kind of verbiage that comes from this. Sandy, that is so ridiculous. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Hi, you guys. I do agree with Gaza with you guys. I think that's crazy. We ought to stay out of there and don't build some fancy resorts and put palm trees out there and all this nice golf courses. That's ridiculous. The fix that place, it's just going to fix it up. It's going to be destroyed anyways within a few years because who knows what's going to happen there. But as far as Kohl's, look what Kohl's did. They cut 200 jobs last week. It's going to save them $20 million. It's going to save them. If they don't cut, they're going to go out of business.
Gary, let's talk about that because you're absolutely right. Every big business has gone through processes of paring out jobs. But they don't just cut jobs willy-nilly. They don't offer their entire workforce. Elon Musk might have done it in a company, but you know, you try to cut the people that the company can withstand the loss of, and where the cost is the least important function. You know, lots of companies will start their cuts in the areas of public relations, place people that are not involved with direct production, but that's not what's happening with the federal government.
You know, Sandy, this continued. I didn't know if
Gary had a response to that.
Well, before Gary responds, I want to say this. This whole conversation about the government being treated like a business, because at the root of what he's talking about is, and these others are talking about, is always from the perspective of a business. Well, you know, again, as an American citizen and a taxpayer, And so when we look at what's happening, and when I look at what's happening in the government that I'm in, I don't want this government to be run in that manner where it cuts all these people because we say we can't afford it, Sandy, when we know at the root of it.
Let me finish my point.
Because what we know at the root of it is the fact that we've cut the taxes on the people. We could afford this all the times before, Sandy, before we start giving those tremendous tax breaks. All the other presidents before and all of these things that we've had that have helped the American people worked. But we've cut the revenue that comes into our government, and you can't fix it by saying cut the people.
Well, that's, I mean, that's my point in response. What you have to do is you have to look at the program. The federal government, our federal government, has evolved over time in a Darwinian fashion to provide the things to the American public that they've decided they need. We do want to make sure that the government is run efficiently. I was involved with state government, and we went through processes of trying to figure out how we could make the delivery of the programs that the government needed to deliver to the people most efficient. You don't want to deliver it the way the Chinese government used to do and just layer people in there because it was jobs and we could provide more jobs to more people by doing things inefficiently. So efficient, there's nothing wrong with pursuit of efficiency, but what's going on now is not about efficiency. It's simply cutting dollars out of the expenditures in the federal government and for instance, cutting programs completely, eliminating USAID, and then finding out that maybe some of the things that USAID does is very important for the health of Americans as well as the foreign people that are involved. And so that's why I said the problem here is that they aren't just looking for efficiency. They're taking organs out of the patient on the operating table and then deciding whether the patient is going to survive or not. Let's take a kidney out. There are two of them. What's this thing that's beating? Oh, it's a heart. Well, let's see how important it is. I mean, it's a process that we're watching that is an experimentation by people who don't even understand what the government does. They're busily trying to figure that out on the fly.
Sandy, it's fraught with disaster for the American people who need the government the most. Gary, go ahead.
I'm still here. Okay, so I agree with Sandy, and I totally disagree with you, Earl. We need to run this company like a business.
This is not a company. Okay. The government is not a company. And if you want to talk about that, then, Sandy and Gary, I would ask, I'm not opposed to running the government in an efficient manner, but we know where most of the waste in the government has been forever. It's in the military. And so if you wanted to start somewhere, start where the biggest, you know, waste is located, not at the in the areas where the average American person who's struggling needs that support. That's all I'm saying, man.
People who are getting these furloughs are getting their paid leave for the next 11 months or something like that. It's going to help the government because once they're gone, they don't have to pay these guys for the next 20 or 30 years.
Gary, that's simply mathematics, okay? But that is disregards what function it is that these people might do that are deciding to take this voluntary termination deal. Number one, it's an unauthorized deal, and we might find out with the courts that the people who are offering it have no authority to do so and no capacity to deliver on it. But number two, if you were running this like a business, you wouldn't offer that to everybody in the business. You'd only do it to the people for whom their departure might leave the company in a more streamlined and more efficient basis. And so that's not running this business, this government like a business. That's running this government into the ground.
Sandy, I would say this quickly before we, it's the people in this nation who need help and support. You're saying when you cut these people, the people be damned, because those people that you're talking about cutting provide a service for the American people. It's beyond comprehension. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. You're tuned into Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host Sandy Williams.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Donald Trump is president again, and Democrats need to take a new approach to combat this presidency. Part of that is recognizing the realignment of how we arrived here. In last year's election, one thing Trump did successfully was turn out people who might not otherwise vote. In Wisconsin, he increased his vote share in all 72 counties en route to the largest popular vote total in state history. How did he do this? Well, as I see it, there are two factions of Republicans. One is the more traditional country club Republicans. The other is the newer group, what I'm calling the pro-wrestling Republicans. In my latest column, I wrote about how Donald Trump transformed the party by prioritizing the pro-wrestling Republicans, and why recognizing this new reality is critical to Democrats' ability to grab a steel chair of their own and fight back. Subscribe and read it now at the Recombobulation Area.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
So I get the drift of the music already, Sandy, but we'll see if others do. 855. Go ahead.
I'm only smiling because when I thought of Goldfinger, I actually remembered the guy in the movie, and I think Donald Trump might look a little like Goldfinger.
855-752-4842, 855-752-4842 is the number. You can join us. Sandy and I have been talking about, you know, how to proceed with what is happening with Donald Trump and all of these things that are happening at the same time and people being tired and of the conversations. But, Sandy, I want to say this before we go back to the phone lines, and our phone lines are jammed. I would say that you constantly talked about Tom, Dick, and Mary, and people talked about them during the campaign, and Tom, Dick, and Mary felt like they'd been left out and left behind. And so they were frustrated. And so a government that certainly was weighed against the average American person succeeding over the last 30 to 40 years, policies that have been crafted that made it almost impossible for Tom, Dick, and Mary to keep up. In many instances, from both Democrats and Republicans. And so the only hope that Tom, Dick, and Mary had is that the same government that stacked the deck against them would be the arbiter of giving them another opportunity at things. But if we're now talking about, well, we got to cut government, we got to cut this, we got to cut that, then where do Tom, Dick, and Mary turn, Sandy? So it's easy for guys like Gary to say, we got to run it like a business. We got to cut it. What are you talking about, man? So you leave the people in the lurch, the American people?
Well, I think people get confounded in this notion of running something like a business. I mean, you can talk about running the government efficiently, okay, and delivering the programs that the people need and want efficiently to them. And that would be running the programs efficiently and like a business. Or you can talk about running the government like a business, which simply means cutting it out because it's a cost center And all we're going to do is cut out of this huge cost center, which is the government, so we can operate with a in a lower cost environment. That's not running it like a business. That's just trying to make it disappear. I would say that what's going on right now, what seems to be going on, is the wealthy in this country have achieved their wealth, and now they're going to pull the ladder up behind them and take the government away, because it's, you know, it is true. The people who make lots of money pay more taxes into the coffer than the people who don't make a lot of money. And of course, the reason for that is you can't get blood from a stone. And the people who make lots of money are making lots of money because of the fact that they live in a country with a political infrastructure like the United States of America, and they need to support it. So, you know, I'm all for a careful analysis of programs and delivering them efficiently. What I'm not all for is cutting off what has evolved in a Darwinian fashion as the United States government, just eliminating it willy-nilly as if it is without value, because, you know, the value of its parts has been determined over time through evolution. Now, it might have a couple of vestigial flippers, and it might have some fat on its belly. Certainly the Defense Department represents a great deal of fat, I'm sure. But, you know, you don't just go at it with a sledgehammer.
All right, let's go to Mary from Tulsa. Mary, thank you very much. You say what?
Darlene, Sandy, a question I have about the buyout, and I'm not hearing addressed, is whether the federal employees have the benefit of a pension, and if they'd be giving up this invaluable support for their retirement years. Any information about this, please?
Another great question, Mary.
Yeah, they have pensions, and they would be losing whatever portion of the pension they lose by terminating their employment.
Really?
They don't lose the pension by termination, but they would stop vesting. I mean, they would stop the process of vesting towards a larger pension as the result of it. I mean, all they're doing is voluntarily terminating, and they're getting an 8-month vacation in exchange is what the offer is being made to them. Well, and the problem is that offer is without any support in the regulations. It runs directly contrary to the regulations because administrative leave in the federal government is restricted to 10 days.
You know, Sandy, the other part of this is they're saying they don't even know if the money exists. Where are they going to get the money to do this?
The money doesn't exist because on a fiscal year basis, all money, they're not allowed constitutionally to commit future dollars that haven't been committed by Congress. And the dollars that have been committed by Congress expire in March, I believe. I think it's March 14th. So what's happening is they're promising something that Congress hasn't authorized them to promise. And so that puts at risk the notion that these employees would get it at all. What they're counting on is that Congress will, in fact, enact what it is that they're now proposing to the employees that they do.
And they're pretty assured in their minds that they control Congress, that all these people are going to knuckle under to what they want, because that's what's been happening.
Well, it hasn't had time to happen yet. They're hoping that it happens, but actually Congress sort of did put up its back when they decided to terminate through the executive order all the grants and support, the financial support through grants.
All right, 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll continue the conversation.
From the center, WRCE. Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 2.5 weeks into the Trump administration, we're going to talk to Randy Manner, retired Major General from the U.S. Army, and get some of his impressions. Don't miss it.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Live bird markets in New York City, on Long Island, and in Westchester County, north of New York City, are being shut down for a week after new cases of bird flu have been detected. New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
Over the last week, inspectors have detected 7 cases of bird flu in poultry during routine inspections at live bird markets in the Bronx, Brooklyn, and Queens.
The flocks have been destroyed. Public health officials say, though, there's very little threat to humans in New York at this time. President Trump will host the Prime Minister of Japan today. Trade, economic security, and defense cooperation all expected to be topics. Hours before a midnight deadline, a federal judge stepped in, temporarily blocking the buyouts offered to about 2 million federal employees. A hearing will be held Monday into the legality of the buyouts. Severe weather in eastern Tennessee has killed a mother and daughter and left 3 other people hurt. The possible tornado blew through last night west of Knoxville. This is ABC News.